interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places... My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
The land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Let's begin tonight right here in the great Tar Heel State of North Carolina. We have a strange story from the small town of Hickory, North Carolina. Imagine this. Attendees in a church were stunned when something fell through the roof of the church. It's always so much more symbolic when it happens in a church, right? What could it have possibly been? It was, of all things... a naked man. That's right. Naked man comes crashing through the roof of the church. They say that he's babbling incoherently. What did they do? Of course, they call the cops. I find that ironic. You have people in a church, they're in a building where the dead is raised, people walk on water, conjuring up demons and angels, and yet something as miraculous as a naked man falling through the roof happens. And they call the cops. Oh, well. They say that they're not sure exactly what was going on here. This 46-year-old man, they believe, was trying to hide out in the attic. And that he had taken his clothes off so that he could fit through a space between the ventilation duct and the building's framework. His weight, of course, was too much. He fell about 11 feet. And... I believe they say that they've even had problems with him trying to get back into the attic. You know, we all enter the world naked and incoherent. Maybe God just gave birth to a new prophet directly. He sprang from the head of Zeus, and they just threw him in the pen. I don't know. It's one of those strange stories that really gets you in the mood for Christmas time, right? And it's that time now. It's December now. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is a man who is as sturdy as a sugar maple on a snowy bank in mid-January hardwood. Forrest Connor, good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua, and as you can tell, I am fully clothed.
You did not come to bring the Christmas message, then.
No.
That's a shame. He was born, once again, reborn
as a baby, an innocent, babbling, incoherent soul, came straight from the heavens, crashed through the roof. Usually when you hear a story about something crashing through the roof, it's like some frozen block of urine out of an airplane or something.
Right, I was thinking you were going path of like a meteorite might have fallen in through the church or something, but I wasn't expecting a naked man.
You know, of course, I spoke at the Brown Mountain Lights Symposium that took place last month, and for the event, Ed Phillips, the director of tourism there in Burke County, he had a meteor on display that hit a guy's backyard in the 1940s in Valdez, North Carolina. It hit a tree, split it in half, and, I mean, it was just a huge, big explosion. This was a very, very heavy, impressive piece. It was great to pick up something like that that had fallen kind of in our backyard. And those things, they're worth a lot of money, aren't they, these meteorites?
They are.
It's kind of funny because later I have a story about meteorites that I'm going to bring up. And
Valdez, Burke County?
It's in that neck of the woods. I don't know if it's Burke or not, but it's certainly in that direction. Okay. It is east of where we are. So, Shelley Wright, you have a meteorite pendant, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. We're going to talk about those a little bit later.
All right.
How have you been, Shelley Wright, from Wright's Coin Shop?
I am so tired. We've been just crazy busy.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So people are now getting stocked up. It is December. And you know what, guys? Today is December 1st, so we are now 20 days from the big day. For thousands of years, people have been anticipating what's going to happen in 20 days. Just to refresh everybody now, the morning of Friday, December 21st, here on the East Coast, it will be 6:11 a.m. This alignment takes place. Our solar system is going to align with the center of the galaxy for the first time in like 24,000 years. And it's at very least supposed to represent our transition into a new era. What do you think about that, Shelley?
Woohoo! I'm probably going to sleep through it. I'll try not to, but
People keep asking me what I want to do, and I just haven't made up my mind yet. I don't know. I'm very uncertain about how I want to spend that last night.
Party!
You may as well have your party on Thursday, and then you stay up all night, right?
Yes.
Because it's 6:11. Who wants to get up that early? Just stay up all night.
Just stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very strange, though. Well, let me tell you, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, because it is December, the holiday season is here, and I've got just so many wonderful stories we're going to dig into. But hour number two, I am not only going to tell you some great stories, but I'm going to tell you why that you should buy Christmas gifts from me.
Hey.
Yeah, I've got the coolest Christmas gifts you could possibly buy. And we'll get around to the coins.
Senator Warren over here.
Yeah. Shelly's already selling enough coins. Now you need to buy some of my stuff. I'm going to tell you, like my new app, right? You don't have to be rich to buy my new app. It costs 99 cents.
I was playing with it earlier. It's awesome.
It's called Ghost Psycho, and I'll tell you more about that later. The very first app ever produced that is a psychomantium. That's pretty wild. You guys have been into big psychomantiums.
Weird, wild stuff.
Yeah, I will convince you all that it works. But listen, before we jump into a lot of fun stories and fascinating stuff, we do have something sad we have to talk about. Last week on the show, I told you, of course, about our friend Jim Robison recently dying. And I figured that announcing one death per show was enough. So there is a second death, and I figured I'd tell you guys about this tonight. See, it's 2012. Things are changing so rapidly, you know. 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I went for the first time to Key West to do my big Robert the Haunted Doll investigation and had a wonderful time. When I was down there, one of the reasons it was so special was that I got to go meet a man at his house named Jim Mosley. And Jim Mosley, he has been one of these classic sort of ufologists who hit his prime in the 60s and 70s. He published this journal called Saucer Smear, And he has had run-ins and connections with all of the major UFO developments of the past few decades. In fact, Tim Beckley, our friend who's often on the show, I guess it's okay to say it was sort of a protege of Jim Moseley. They worked together in New York. So I got to visit Jim Moseley at his house in Key West. We spent an afternoon together drinking scotch and talking about some incredible classic moments from ufology. I even had him on Speaking of Strange not too long after that. Well, a couple weeks ago, Jim Moseley died. He was 81 years old, so he lived a nice, long, full life. I know he enjoyed living there in Key West. And what I've decided to do to honor him is take my full interview that I did with him and post it on our speakingofstrange.com website. So you can go there, listen to it. I've been told it may be the very last interview that was ever done with Jim Moseley. And so you can listen to it there. Feel free to take that clip and do what you want with it. Spread it around the net. You know, remind people of the contributions that Jim Moseley gave to ufology. And we also, I think I might have a video clip I shot with him down there. We'll put that on the net as well. So Jim Moseley, 81 years old, truly the end of an era. And while we are talking about these types of things that we have to take a little seriously here, our friend Patricia, whom we affectionately call Demented Patty,
yeah.
She is about to go into surgery, and she understands that the power of prayer is a true, tangible force. That's what the power of intent is all about, expressed through prayer. So we have a prayer request here. Even though you may or may not know who Patricia is, you've heard us talk about her plenty of times. So think right now about our friend Patricia. Send your positive vibes her way to help her get through this surgery. Do you want to say anything else about that, Shelley?
You summed it up. Just pray for Patty.
Okay, pray for Patty.
I want to add that my mother entered the hospital early last week and need her prayers, too.
Okay.
Surround her with white light and everything.
Is it okay to say your mom's name?
Yeah.
Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay, so think of Sharon and Patricia, and we will send those positive healing vibes. It's the time of year when I think, especially being 2012, your thoughts manifest so much more intensely and quickly that things like praying make a big difference now, more than it did, I think, 100 years ago, oddly enough. But it kind of goes into my 2012 program. I described how the universe has seasons, ebbs and flows, and periods when certain frequencies are in phase and out of phase. And I think this whole 2012 thing is about the accelerating particles of the universe reaching an in phase, where the physical and non-physical are much, much closer together. So, and, you know, actually considering we are now 20 days away, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you can still watch my 2012 program there. See what's going to happen for yourself. Okay, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, all kinds of fun news to dig into. I've already told you about a naked man falling through the roof of a church. Let me tell you what God has to do with a woman in Fort Pierce, Florida. It didn't take us long to get to a Florida story. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Silver voice, a sweet perfume. Now you see her, now you don't. You'll never match her, but you can have some fun. Maybe you'll get to hold her. Now you see her, and now you don't. Now you see her, and now you don't.
Speaking of strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks for spending your Saturday with us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And, you know, Christmas is coming up here soon. But have you heard of a holiday called Twelfth Night? Have you, Shelley Wright?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is, have but I've far? Heard of it.
You know, I've heard of course, the play that Shakespeare wrote called Twelfth Night, but I really wasn't that familiar with what Twelfth Night is. Well, it is a festival that, as I understand, marks the 12 days after Christmas, and I could be wrong about this, but basically I believe that they usually celebrate it around the evening of either January 5th or 6th, depending on the culture. But it is, if you look at Christmas as a 12-night experience, somehow or other, they figured, I don't know how this works, but somehow or other, they figure this 12th-night thing, it's some type of a holiday after Christmas that kicks off the carnival season in a lot of, especially Latin countries. And apparently it's a big, big celebration in New Orleans.
Oh, come on. New Orleans looks for any excuse to party.
I know, exactly. And there's a lot of voodoo connotation down there. So I got a call from Jeff Davis, the guy who owns the Grove House. And, of course, we did a couple ghost hunts at the Grove House around Halloween time. And he said that there were some people who were going to do like a 12th night gathering there at the Grove House. And he says, how would you like to do a 13th night festival?
Ooh.
And basically, I would be putting together all kinds of like crazy stuff. We would get together and the bar would be open.
Of course.
We'd be ghost hunting. We'd be doing like tarot card readings. I'd be playing the theremin. We'd have like psychics running around. Who knows? Just a big crazy like we'd all dress up. And I'm thinking we're going to do this. Does that sound good? Yeah, I see you look excited about this.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What do you think, Forrest? Does 13th night sound like a good idea?
Sounds like a great idea.
Well, I think we're pretty much confirmed on this, so I'm glad to hear you say you like it. And I want to be sure that I've got this right, because I was just talking to Jeff today to get everything solidified. We may be sort of making history here. This might be a tradition now for us, right? I think we're going to do this on, of course, it falls on a Monday, which is really the only time when we can have big events like this at the Grove House, so it all works out very well. So we're looking at, I believe, Monday, January the 7th?
Yes.
Okay. So you get, okay, and so probably 7 p.m. So on 177, 13th night at the Grove House. So put that on your calendar, and I'll have more details as we plan this thing. But if you are somebody who has some kind of talent, that's kind of weird, kind of funky, kind of freaky, if you are a psychic or you do anything that might contribute to a kind of a carnival spooky festival with us on 13th night, go to joshuapwarren.com and email me, and maybe we can get you involved in this. So I can see the gears are turning already in your head, Shelley, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. We're going to make you a planner for 13th night. So before the break, I mentioned that we have a story here from Fort Pierce, Florida. That's our Florida bell. We read so many stories from Florida, just so happens we have a bell to indicate it. It says here, a woman was pulled over driving 100 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. And so the cops asked her, of course, why are you driving 100 miles per hour? And she said, because the Lord told me to do it. And, of course, the cops were not persuaded by this. They say, we only follow the law, not the Lord. So this woman, she was arrested for reckless driving and speeding. And they put her in jail, placed her under a bail of $375. So, but, you know, they say maybe the Lord will provide that for her and get her out of it. See, that's the thing. It's like, it's frightening, this concept that, well, God told me to do this. Because anybody can say that about anything, right? And that's why if a voice is telling, if you really are hearing a voice that's telling you to do something, how do you know that's God anyway, really?
I don't know. Is it booming? Is it? I don't know.
That's one of my big problems with the way, you know, the concept of God and religion in the world. It's just so easily warped. You have all these madmen who say, God told me to do it, right? Oh, well, here's a story from New York, New York. And this is something that most people hadn't even thought about. Obviously, right now, there is a bunch of debris all over the place from the Sandy storm. It's going to take forever to clean up. And they say here that a forester working for the New York City Parks Department, he made a horrifying discovery. And it's funny, I read this first sentence and I was like, what? And it says, he made a discovery beside a pile of fallen trees destined for the wood chipper. Anytime you see the phrase wood chipper, you're like, where's this going, right? If you've seen Fargo, you know what I mean. Well, sure enough, he found a dead man. But this apparently was not somebody killed by the storm. They say that these debris areas are creating great spots for killers to dump bodies. And that it says hours after the discovery, a second body was found on a beach there. And they say that there was a shriek that came from a worker, and they saw a man's elbow sticking up out of the cold sand. So, again, they're thinking that these are people who have been killed and disposed of because it kind of is a convenient way of tossing a body aside and hoping that, well, everybody will just think this guy got killed by the storm. So a little bit of a problem in sorting things out there, I guess, huh? That is kind of creepy and weird, isn't it? Well, you know, speaking of creepy, weird things, earlier this week, it finally hit the shelves, Shelley and Forrest. The Apparition.
Finally.
This is the big Warner Brothers movie that we worked on, what, like 2-3 years ago? How long has it been?
2009.
Was it 9? Jeez. Big Warner Brothers film, and basically they hired me first off to be a technical consultant for the film. And then they decided to expand that role and have a crew here in Western North Carolina produce a bunch of material in our laboratory and at various haunted places, showing us at work as a team. And we did this crazy experiment that you were a part of. And of course, we've talked so much about this, Shelley, there's no sense in going into the details, but we hooked your brain up.
Yes.
To a magnifying device.
Yes.
I told you it was a horror movie. And we wanted to see if you could materialize a ghostly form. And all this material that they shot with us is extra material now on the Blu-ray set. So here's the problem, I must say. This pack came out, and I was obviously one of the first people to get it. It's a combo pack. It's got the DVD, it's got the Blu-ray, and it's got this digital thing called Ultraviolet. As it turns out, the DVD only has one of the features, because on the back there are four different features that they made for this. And I tell you what, we're coming up on a break. So when we come back, I will explain what these features are, and then I will tell you why that some people are upset, frankly, because they buy the DVD and it's only got one of the features. You got to get the Blu-ray if you want to get all of the features. And frankly, I don't even have a Blu-ray player.
I don't have a Blu-ray player.
You have one, Forrest.
Yeah.
Forrest is the only person. So we're giving this out as a public service message as well. Like, if you really want to see all of our stuff, and a lot of people are buying this not to watch The Apparition. They want to see our stuff,
mm-hmm.
The real stuff that we did. So we don't want you to be disappointed by buying the wrong thing. I'll tell you more about that when we come back. And more weird news, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Senses real, fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp?
This on Monday, January 7th. So don't get all partied out from New Year's. Save a little something to kick off the carnival season with us at the Grove House. And since we've never done 13th night before, it's a nebulous, unformed thing. It's a blank slate that we can mold and shape into whatever we want it to be. Should we all be naked for this? I'm thinking that might be a great tradition. You want to get naked, Forrest?
Let's do it.
Shelly?
Oh, yeah. But okay. I want to have a big bonfire if I'm going to get naked.
All right, fine. We'll get a bonfire going.
Yay!
And ticket sales just went through the roof.
Yes.
Price increase. We'll just auction off tickets for this thing. We have like five people get to come.
You thought Black Friday crowds were bad.
Yeah. 13th night. Well, a lot of spooky things are going on. What a year we've had. I mean, it's just been full of investigations. You know, I did the TV show there, The Paranormal Paparazzi. We had this movie, The Apparition, finally come out. So if you look, and this is very cool, when you look at the back of the Apparition cover, it's got all this information about our special features before it even gets to, like, Ashley Green, Sebastian Stan. My name is above Ashley Green's name on the back cover of a Warner Brothers box. How do you like that?
That's way cool.
Now,
and not only that, but it's in much bigger type than...
Yes. But now, if they put a picture of her behind and my behind, hers would be on top. There's no doubt about it. We started calling this movie The Aspiration, actually, because it's a fitting portrayal of how a lot of the scenes were set up. We'll leave it at that. But it says on the back here, special features on Blu-ray. Follow modern-day ghost hunters and witness the real frightening forces that consume their lives. First segment... first feature. It's called The Dark Realm of Paranormal. Discover the chilling reality behind supernatural events. The next feature is called Haunted Asheville. Ghost hunter Joshua P. Warren shows you two real-life locations filled with paranormal sightings and bizarre occurrences. The next feature is called The Experiment of the Apparition. Movie meets real-life horror as Warren attempts to replicate the experiment gone wrong. And then, the final feature, it says, plus The Apparition, a cinematic specter. The film stars explore the experiment that conjured the apparition. That's the one. The last one is the only one that you get on the DVD. So if you want all the other stuff, you got to buy the Blu-ray. So don't be confused by that. But hey, that's some pretty good promotion right there, huh?
Definitely.
Look, I got the name Asheville on the back of this cover box. I think the Chamber of Commerce owes me something. I need some a little cut to something.
I agree.
Haunted Asheville. That's the name of my book on the back of a Warner Brothers cover box. Calm me down, please. It's becoming too exciting. But I haven't even seen it yet. I haven't seen my own stuff. I haven't seen Shelley's stuff. Forrest, you did the audio for most of this, didn't you?
I did.
So that's quite a little credential, buddy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look, you can tell everybody I did the audio for something on the cover.
It's the boom operator.
See, Eric Scott operated a lot of the camera, maybe all the camera stuff, actually. He did all the camera stuff.
Majority of it.
I know Josh Oreck. He probably shot some stuff, I guess, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, guys, have you all been hearing this hype about the Bigfoot DNA? No?
No.
It's been all over the place. I mean, I almost hesitated to bring this up because I was afraid that it might just be too overplayed already, but there are people who are freaking out because there is a report that's been released, and I've got one version of it right here. Headline is, Bigfoot DNA sequenced in upcoming genetic study. 5-year genome study at DNA Diagnostics yields evidence of Homo sapiens / unknown hominid hybrid species in North America. Around Dallas? Okay. So here's what it says. A team of scientists can verify that their 5-year-long DNA study, currently under peer review, confirms the existence of a novel hominin hybrid species, commonly called Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Extensive DNA sequencing suggests the Sasquatch is a human relative that arose approximately 15,000 years ago as a hybrid cross of modern Homo sapiens with an unknown primate species. So here's an actual quote. Sasquatch nuclear DNA is incredibly novel and not at all what we'd expected. While it has human nuclear DNA within its genome, there are also distinctly non-human, non-archaic, hominin, and non-ape sequences. We describe it as a mosaic of human and novel non-human sequence. Further study is needed and is ongoing to better characterize and understand Sasquatch nuclear DNA, end quote. Now, I know that all sounds very fancy, right? But I have looked into this quite a bit, and honestly, I'm not totally sold on the legitimacy of this. I don't question that there are people out there who believe that they have Bigfoot DNA. But there's a long way to go before this thing, you know, stands up to scientific scrutiny. Because essentially what they're saying here is that maybe around 15,000 years ago, some kind of weird primate made love to a human woman. And bingo, we get Sasquatch. Now, I can see that scenario happening. I can definitely, you know, imagine that has happened at some point in history. But as to whether or not there's still some big, hairy man, you know, running around out there like this, I am reserving judgment. But if I had to bet on it, I would say that this is going to fizzle out. I guess I've been around the field too long. I've known too many cryptozoologists. I've seen too many reports come and go. Wouldn't you say, Forrest Connor?
Yeah, I mean, they come in, like, you have the hype of, like, of course, the Tom Biscardi Bigfoot hoax down in
Georgia. Right.
And, you know, these people claim they have this stuff, and it ends up being nothing.
Right. So I am not excited about this.
Show me some real concrete.
Yeah. But now, I'm looking at this Bigfoot thing, and I see this other story from Namibia, and that's somewhere in Africa, right?
Yes.
And the headline says, literally, the headline says, bizarre Muppet-like beast discovered. Muppet-like? What the hell is a Muppet-like beast?
See Ralph Lell's Muppet.
He has a hole in his behind. Oh, I don't know. Those are marionettes, I guess. Anyway, says here, Namibia media report a strange Muppet-like beast has been shot dead after a group stumbled across several of the creatures in dense jungle. Locals came across the bizarre being while they were escorting a shooting party in Namibia, local media reported. Witnesses state the creature was spotted apparently foraging for food. One of the shooting party wounded it with his rifle, and it escaped into the thick brush. The locals tracked it to a nearby lair or nest, where they found three more creatures of similar size. The wounded creature attacked one of the shooting party, and it was shot dead. The others escaped into the brush. The body of the creature was taken back to the local camp. Police later removed its corpse, and a full forensics investigation is underway. Now, okay, I don't know anything more about this than I just read to you, but there is a picture here. Now, Mobius dredged this story up from somewhere, and I don't even know what I'm looking at. I mean, Far, since you're my actual producer, you get to see that first. Would you call that a Muppet-like creature? I'm not even sure I know what I'm looking at there. Do any adjectives come to mind?
I don't know. What? I mean, there's... It's two arms. Looks like it has sort of like a... almost like a lobster type hand going on with it, sort of. And, of course... And it looks like a bad ultrasound is what it looks like.
You know, it does. I was thinking ultrasound.
But it's got like hook arms and
yeah,
sort of a flattened face and very very Muppet like.
So the facial features would be like very
trying to think which Muppet would
get a load of those ears. Look at those ears.
Okay, describe what you're looking at, Shelley.
I don't even know how to describe it. It is.
Come on, guys. We're on the radio here. Give the people a mental image.
It almost looks like something that might have a cleft palate also.
Yes.
Okay.
Flat nose.
Special features.
I know what it reminds me of. When I was a kid, Walt Disney made this movie called Fuzz Bucket. Did you ever see Fuzz Bucket?
No.
Let me see if I can find a picture of Fuzzbucket here. Okay, let me give a shot. Oh, yes, yes, it looks like Fuzzbucket. It really does. Look at the picture of Fuzzbucket here. Oh, come on. Dang it. There it is. Look, it looks like Fuzzbucket. We got to take a break. And what a cliffhanger. When we come back, I'll tell you what Fuzzbucket looks like. And then also I'll tell you about a vampire alert that's been issued. And I'll tell you where it has been issued. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Check it out, Joe. hashtag Gutierrez reicht schon, um die bereits passiert. Ich überleg, wer mir den Osten spricht, dafür, der ist es nicht noch rauch. Die Spätten Blaze sind dir wohl bekannt, ich mein, sie fährt ja Uber auf. Sag, singen!
Sabine, dumm, oh, oh. Schau, der Kommissar geht um.
Did you ever rest that thing? If you're resting to the beat,
the person should have chosen the best to the hip and off and the rest of the current gang. The rest of the hip, the rest of the other fish and grass and stuff and bends. If it's a funny scar, lieber Herr Kommissar, auch wenn Sie anderer Meinung sind, der Schnee, auf dem wir alle zahlen, das war ein Zentral für jedes Kind. Jetzt was hinter mir?
Ja, die Lernung.
Oh, oh, oh.
And the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we've got some great stories for you about some really unique items that I think you should buy from me for Christmas gifts. Yep, before it's too late. Good stuff. I'll tell you about my new app and all kinds of little neat things. But before the break, we were talking about Little Fuzz Bucket here. And, you know, if you do recall this movie, and you probably don't, but you'll know what I'm talking about, look it up if not. I think we ought to probably link all this stuff up on the website anyway if it's not already there. This creature, I mean, and it's very hard to make out what we're looking at here, but it does look like it may be standing upright bipedally. Maybe it's like a foot and a half, 2 feet tall. It kind of has an almost calf-like face with ears of a chimpanzee and kind of long, muscular, ape-like arms with a stocky torso. I can't really tell if that's hair hanging off the back of its head or it actually kind of looks like it might have tiny little knobs of horns, like a little satyr or something like that. Did you notice that, Shelley Wright? Little knobs on its head? Makes it look almost goat-like in a way.
It does.
Yeah. It's very odd. I mean, I have a hard time believing that's true.
Yes.
But you never know. I mean, there are strange creatures out there. Just because I am very hesitant to jump on the bandwagon when somebody says they've discovered some strange new beast doesn't mean that, you know, I'm trying to be Mr. Know-It-All here. I just have seen so many of these kinds of stories come and go. And you also have to realize the cultural context. I mean, this story apparently is a true news story from Serbia. Vampire alert issued. Now, you know, we're talking about the concept of vampires being around for centuries. And the news story here says sales of garlic are booming in western Serbia after the local council issued a public health warning that a vampire was on the loose. The warning came after an old ruined mill said to have once been the home of the country's most famous monster in the form of a vampire, Sava Savinic, collapsed. Sava Savinic is one of the most famous vampires in Serbian folklore. The water mill was bought by the local Jagodic family, and they were too scared to use it as a mill, but discovered it was a gold mine when they started advertising for tourists to come and visit it, always during the day. And so Sava Savinic was said to have lived in the old water mill right there in on the banks of a river next to a little village, and he drank the blood of anybody that came to mill their grain. So, I don't know. I mean, people still believe that there are vampires running around like that. I mean, I think that, you know, there may be something to the idea that human beings can shapeshift and morph and take on vampiric qualities. We've talked about that. But this is like traditional, old-school villagers freaking out because the vampire's awakened, and he's on the prowl. You know, he's looking for blood. So, Is that true? I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt there's a vampire running around like that. But, again, what do I know? What do you think about that, Shelley, right? You're a vampire person. You've been to Transylvania.
Right. I kind of doubt it, but, yeah. I agree with you. I don't really think that's what's happening.
Of course, in an area like that, if people believe that can happen, then, you know, it can inspire people to behave that way. Right? You get some madman, he straps on his cloak. If it's Shelley's kind of vampire, he puts on some nice cologne, combs his hair, polishes his shoes.
His hair.
And he's like, well, hello there, my little redhead. Something like that. Yeah.
La tête rouge.
Yeah, what is it? How do they say redhead in Romania? Did you ever figure that one out?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, probably is some kind of rouge thing. I want to make you naked as red as your hair. Yeah. Okay, that's enough. We're going to take a break.
Out of this.
That, you just sounded like Horny Rob there. So.
Oh, no. Who's that? We're going to take a break. When we come back during hour number two, we're going to dig into all kinds of crazy stuff. Great stories and things that you should buy for me as the best Christmas gifts in the world. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.